This is Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen joining you. Parenting is arguably the hardest job there is. Just ask today's parents, trying to juggle career aspirations, job pressures, economic realities, and raising kids. And there are no easy answers, foolproof formulas, or guidebooks. Here with some answers and some pitfalls to avoid is Dr. Alicia Pekarsky, Assistant Professor of Pediatrics at Upstate Medical University. Dr. Pekarsky is also a board-certified child abuse pediatrician, as well as a general pediatrician at Upstate Golisano Children's Hospital, McMahon Ryan Child Advocacy Center, as well as University Pediatric and Adolescent Center. Welcome, Dr. Pekarsky. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Linda.
Well, you were here not too long ago, actually, and we had a wonderful conversation about parenting. And I wanted to bring you back because I wanted to give our listeners an opportunity to listen again to some of these concepts that you call positive parenting. Mm-hmm. And then I have some other topic I'd like to get to after that. So let's review these briefly. What exactly is positive parenting?
I'd say positive parenting is a parent's job in terms of teaching and training their children, showing them that the world can be a safe place, guiding them to make good decisions, and having an appropriate level of self-esteem.
So the idea is you want them to grow up to be hopeful, mm-hmm. to look at the world as hopefully a positive place, something they can be effective in, mm-hmm. and your role is to do it in a positive way.
To demonstrate those principles, yes, and to model that.
Right. So, I mean, how is this different than other concepts in terms of positive parenting?
Well, positive parenting really, we're talking about discipline, which again is teaching and training children, which is very different from punishment, where which is inflicting injury to the child, either mentally or physically, and is very counterproductive.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that that's where the rubber meets the road when we talk about mm-hmm. discipline. We've got these sometimes very rambunctious, unruly children mm-hmm. who are growing up and trying to learn how they can control the world, their own world, and it often butts up against the so-called rules of either mm-hmm. the home or this classroom or many other things. So it seems to me one of the greatest challenges parents face, and I know I certainly did as well, is how to help that child, guide that child into more adaptive, socially appropriate, and positive behavior in a way that you allow them to maintain their own dignity, so to speak, and self-esteem, but at the same time, you get them to do what you need them to do.
Right, and I think that is the most challenging thing about being a parent, because in addition to doing that, you have to take care of all the other background issues that goes along with having a family. So it can be very stressful for parents when they're dealing with all the other factors in the background.
And you mentioned a minute ago physical punishment, which, you know, it depends on your cultural background. It depends on what part of the country perhaps you've come from. And there have been things in the news of late about, you know, using a switch and, mm-hmm. and all this kind of thing. So this whole notion of the slippery slope about physical punishment, it seems to me it converge on something like abuse.
Right. So because there is a slippery slope, pediatricians in general discourage corporal punishment, using physical discipline for children, because we know that it's a slippery slope and it can slide into child maltreatment very easily. Discipline is meant to be done in a controlled setting. When people are using corporal punishment, they're often acting out of anger.
And they lose, sometimes can really lose control.
Right.
And what does the research actually say about this behavior? I mean, using corporal punishment.
Corporal punishment is actually associated with negative long-term health risks. And we know that and other adverse childhood experiences can lead to some of the major causes of morbidity and mortality in this country.
So give me some specifics. I mean, you know, give me an example. If a child has been spanked excessively or mm-hmm. beaten even.
Mm-hmm. Certainly we know about mental health problems as well as behavioral problems both in childhood and in adulthood. And then there's other ramifications again with related to child abuse, long-term ramifications in terms of coronary heart disease, alcoholism, smoking, sexually transmitted diseases, all the major causes of morbidity and mortality in this country have some link to child maltreatment and corporal punishment.
That's fascinating. So in other words, what you're saying is if a child has been maltreated, mm-hmm. maybe on the verge of abuse, and I want to get to what actually constitutes true abuse, mm-hmm. it almost always suggests that down the road throughout their lives, they will actually have some severe health problems, or significant health problems.
Yep.
And as a result of maybe poor choices, poor behaviors.
Mm-hmm. It certainly increases the risk. We can't say that if you had been maltreated, you will definitely have those health outcomes, but the relative risk is greatly, greatly increased.
And how about the effectiveness of corporal punishment in terms of even in the short term? Now, you were talking long-term mm-hmm. results or impact. In the short term, does it do what you want it to do?
It doesn't. And that's the other reason we discourage corporal punishment. It teaches children basically just that the person who's doling out this punishment, whoever's stronger and bigger than them, can control the situation. It doesn't change their behavior outside of those first couple of minutes in that interaction with the caregiver.
And does it teach another lesson? It seems to me, intuitively, it suggests to me that what it teaches is that might makes right, and therefore you might choose to become that type of person going forward.
Exactly. Yes. It demonstrates to children that the people who are bigger than them can do things to people who are less strong than them, either mentally or physically.
And the other point that you've made, I think, is crucial. It's not just physical abuse we're talking about. There's that whole range of mental abuse.
Right. Emotional and psychological abuse.
Right. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Upstate pediatrician Dr. Alicia Pekarsky. We're talking about positive parenting and the potential for abuse. Now, you are a child abuse specialist. You have mm-hmm. worked as a pediatrician working with families and children who have experienced child abuse. First of all, can you define what child abuse is?
Sure. And actually, would step back and I'd use the term child maltreatment, which includes different types of abuse as well as neglect. So child maltreatment is a pervasive problem in this country, as well as here locally. And it includes physical abuse, it includes sexual abuse, as well as emotional and psychological abuse, and then also this huge entity of neglect. So child maltreatment encompasses all four of those terms.
So what are the different factors that contribute to this that you've experienced or seen?
I think, you know, parents who have unrealistic expectations of their children increases the risk of child abuse or child maltreatment. People who've unfortunately experienced abuse or maltreatment themselves as children are more likely to perpetuate that. And then parents who haven't had the opportunity to learn about other parenting styles or don't have the same resources that other parents may have.
How about issues of anger management?
We certainly see actually that most cases of physical abuse have perpetrators who have anger management issues. I always say to trainees, to learners that I work with, that most caregivers don't start off the day, you know, with a plan or an intent to hurt a child that they're caring for. It's that they enter a day and they encounter a really trying problem with the child who's, you know, having problem with toilet training, won't sleep, or is colicky. And that's when that parent or caregiver crosses that threshold, gets angry enough, and hurts the child.
And it seems to me other factors like poverty, ignorance. Well, you alluded to ignorance mm-hmm. before, and actually some of these issues of cultural differences, too, mm-hmm. must play a role. But when it's actually, what constitutes abuse, I guess, is what I'm saying. I mean, is there a line that you cross where you say this is abuse or neglect? There must be legal.
There are, and there's also, so there's legal definitions. There's definitions that Child Protective Services use, and then there's, you know, a certain level of suspicion that medical providers use. And it's complicated, and I think it varies for each type of maltreatment that you're talking about. The basic definition is that it's whatever's going on in the child's life is going to have imminent, it's going to put them in imminent danger. So if they're being neglected and they need medical care and the child is getting really sick, that could be neglect. If the child was hit in the head so much that the child had seizures and had to be in the intensive care unit, that is putting the child at imminent danger and would be considered physical abuse.
So there are clear parameters.
Yes.
So what, in your experience, can be done to help parents or caregivers who have been perpetrators in the past?
I think interventions from Child Protective Services can be very helpful. They have preventative workers that can work with families, teaching them parenting tips and discipline tips and ways to cope and deal with their own anger issues.
So some degree of education can play a role. Have you seen that be successful?
I have. I think it's difficult because I think sometimes families are scared when different authorities or agencies get involved from the community. But I have seen it be quite effective in my own clinical practice.
So how, I mean, basically what you're saying is the educational piece is helping parents to learn how to control their anger, to learn these positive parenting tips that we talked about before and make them useful and effective so they probably will feel less out of control.
Yes, less out of control and have the ability to interact positively with their child.
Is there something that's being done currently right now at University Hospital to deal with this exact problem?
There is actually. The Child Abuse Referral and Evaluation Program, which I'm a team member of, is working on bringing the no-hitting zone campaign to our hospital.
What is that?
It's a campaign that was started out at Rainbow Babies Children's Hospital by Dr. Lolly McDavid, basically discouraging the use of corporal punishment or hitting anywhere on hospital property. And the main idea that I really like about this program is that they're educating everyone within the hospital system, not just the doctors, not just the social workers, not just the nurses, but the administrative assistants, the people who welcome people into the hospital doors, to teach them what to do, how to intervene comfortably when they see something inappropriate going on between a caregiver and a child.
And the idea, the goal is not just to punish that caregiver, but to also educate that caregiver.
Correct. To educate and to feel comfortable doing that.
So in just wrap up in the little bit of time we have left, what's the essential message here overall in terms of parenting and the potential for abuse?
I think parenting is the most difficult job that, you know, that a lot of people have. The main job for parents is to help their child to feel comfortable and secure in this world, to give them all the tools to grow and develop normally. And we encourage positive parenting and discipline to teach and train children rather than punishment, which actually you get the kind of the opposite. You get the opposite effect.
Thank you so much for coming in. My guest has been Dr. Alicia Pokarsky, Assistant Professor of Pediatrics at Upstate Medical University, Board Certified Child Abuse Pediatrician, as well as a General Pediatrician at Upstate Golisano Children's Hospital, McMahon Ryan Child Advocacy Center, and University Pediatric and Adolescent Center. I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.